As we gather together today, I will invite you, if you don't have your Bible with you and want to use the one in the pew, you can. I'll invite our third graders especially. The Bible that you received today has a ribbon that is marked with today's scripture reading. So today we're going to be reading from the book of James, chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 13. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible, which is the Bible that our third graders just received. So I'll give them a second to find that together. And if you haven't found that in yours, it's James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. I invite you to follow along as we share in the Word of God today. Are any of you wise and understanding? Show that your actions are good with a humble lifestyle that comes from wisdom. However, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, then stop bragging and living in ways that deny the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Instead, it's from the earth, natural and demonic. Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and everything that is evil. What of the wisdom from above? First, it is pure, and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. What is the source of conflict among you? What is the source of your disputes? Don't they come from your cravings that are at war in your own lives? You long for something you don't have, so you commit murder. You are jealous for something you can't get, so you struggle and fight. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't have because you ask with evil intentions to waste it on your own cravings. And then we'll switch over to verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts be acceptable to you. Draw us near this day as we open ourselves, our heart, our minds, and even our, oh Lord, our ears. We thank you for the gift of this day. Meet us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are just joining us on this Sunday, I want to bring you up to speed. One, we've been reading through the book of James throughout the month of September. James is a really fascinating book. About the time you feel good about yourself, James very much pops your balloon, to put it lightly, right? Joel, no sooner than you were trying to explain to the children humility, I go, it's that time when you have a plan and it's coming apart right in front of you. Like, I gave you a balloon, and they go, "Wee!" About the time you go, humility. And I thought, I know this reality. Some Sundays I live it. I have this great thought that I've been pondering and praying over and thinking on throughout the week. And then I come, and it's what we in preacher land call, I crash the plane. I quite literally came up with this great idea. It sounded good. It sounded good taking off. And then I crashed it. So throughout September, we have been walking through the book of James, trying to learn from its wisdom. And it does have quite a bit of wisdom that is offered to us. We started with being reminded in James that we're to be doers of the word, not merely hearers of the word, right? So instead of just hearing it and then not putting into action, we're called to be a people who put into action that which we hear. The next week, Bishop Trimble blessed us with a message where he reminded us that our favoritism actually undoes the very faith we long to grow deeper in. And invited us to remember that God's love is for anybody, anywhere, and everybody, everywhere. I love that phrase. I keep it in front of me now. God's love is for anybody, anywhere, and everybody, everywhere. Last week, as we came together, we continued our journey, and we realized that one of those pieces of our own very body that we had to be mindful of is our tongue. And we talked about our speech and the words that we use. And James questions us, and he says, how is it that you bless your Lord and father and curse those made in God's image. And we dealt with and we stayed within that tension of saying that both what we say to God and what we say of those that God has made should reflect one another, not be at odds with one another. So then James invites us to continue that journey of exploring wisdom as we come to our text for today. And for him, he said there's two types of wisdom, and he kind of breaks them up. And so I want to kind of explain a little bit of what he's breaking up, but then talk a little bit of what that means for us. So the first type of wisdom, he said, is kind of earthly and is worldly. And this is how he defines it. He said, it's a wisdom that is focused in bitter jealousy and envy and selfish ambition. Now, right? So this would be what James would be saying is that the only focus of that kind of wisdom is what? Oneself. They themselves are the focus of all that they do and that they say and that they want. They are motivated for their own selfish ambition, right? And so that wisdom, he would say, as he goes on into 4, is what leads to conflicts and disputes. Because in the midst of that kind of way of thinking, it actually unfolds on us, right? The larger our balloon gets, the more we exalt ourselves, the more likely we're to be humbled. Of course, that would be where reading on throughout James a little further, where he'd say, all who come exalted will be humbled. Or another root word will be humiliated. There's the same word that are connected to one another. The second wisdom, though, he says, is a wisdom from above. First, it is pure. It is peaceful. It is gentle. It's willing to yield. Ooh, Lord, wait a minute now. I don't know if I want that wisdom. It seeks to be merciful. And it does not seek its own. Now, this sounds familiar. If you've spent any time reading Paul's letters, in some ways, it's the kind of encouragement Paul gives to the church in Corinth. Love is what? Patient. It bears with one another. It bears all things. It endures. So you see the connection here that for James, this wisdom is really a wisdom that's found in God. It's a wisdom that's found in love. It doesn't seek its own, but seeks to care for and embody what's best for the greater good for the other as well. That's the kind of wisdom James is encouraging. Well, here's the interesting thing, though. In the world in which we live, that doesn't seem to be the kind of wisdom we long for. You know, I remember being a young person, and I remember learning that knowledge and wisdom are different. Knowledge was having knowing lots of things, like knowing about them. Wisdom was learning how to apply and put those into practice. Well, here, right, one of the challenges for the church is that we could know lots of things about mercy and about peace. But if we go back to the early part of James, we have to recognize that for us to know mercy, for us to know peace, we have to be those who are doing it, who are seeking it. And in fact, verse 18 would even lift up that reality when it says, those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. They embody that which they speak. So you see in how James is building this reality, one chapter after the next, is kind of helping us see this whole image be put together. That the wisdom we should seek is, as I said, merciful. It is gentle. It's filled with mercy and good actions. It's fair. It's genuine. What are the source of our conflicts and our tensions, our disputes? Well, it's our own selfish desires that get the better of us. It's the moments when the balloon that becomes our own mind and head and view of ourselves expands to such a degree that we can't see anything but ourselves. Now, what does that mean for today? Well, there's a part of me that wants to go sit down and go, let's ponder this. Because here's the thing, I find that we live in a culture so driven to react all the time that pondering, that reflecting, is not a practice that we engage. Gentleness is not something you can react to. You can't be a reactive person and train yourself in mercy and gentleness, because mercy and gentleness require us to be sober-minded, to look more intentionally, to pause, to take a deep breath. We live in a world right now, though, that is very much built on sound bites. You know, I know that Twitter has doubled the number of characters that you can use, but that is not reflection, brothers and sisters. Amen? Yes, that you can summarize your thoughts into 280 characters might be a gift to some, but I would say it's more problematic of what has become of our lack of really thinking through what it means. Are we seeking the kind of wisdom that transforms us to be those who sow seeds of justice and peace instead of strife and discord and brokenness? That's a hard question. Because here's what I'm finding, okay, as I spend some time, that I can have a knee-jerk reaction to say, well, yeah, I want to be one who strives for peace, that reflects gentleness. And that sounds great until I'm confronted with my own brokenness. Right? This is where it gets real. Right? When I see that I should be one who is merciful, yet I find my temper growing because I don't have time for one more distraction. Or I don't have time for the person I would rather drive by that's standing at the street corner. Or, if you put it into real context, I don't have the time to listen more closely to my spouse or my significant other. Instead, I just want to move on. I've got too many things on my mind. And we hastily move about the day. Practicing this type of wisdom takes work. It takes practice. It takes mindfulness. And for James, he would tell us, the way we begin to do this work is we submit ourselves to God. We humble ourselves before God. We seek to be present. We've been teaching as a congregation, and we just gave to our children the very scripture that we find to be words of life that give meaning and hope. Now, I would not be the first to tell you that the Bible is filled with only things that are light and bubbly and wonderful. It has some really broken stories. Amen? You've been learning some of those in Jack's class, right? As you've navigated learning to read this very Bible that we have. It's a powerful tool, and it's meant to give meaning to us, but it always requires us to do the hard work of interpreting and being present and listening closely to what it means for us. And so when I asked our young people, even this morning, reading our text, we gave them the Bible and we said, receive this, the Word. Its stories will help you, will guide you. So how might they learn that wisdom? Well, they must first and foremost spend time learning its stories. I spent some time with our youth lately, with our young people, and what I've come to realize is that the more time we spend in the Scripture, the more time they're able to speak more about how they understand who God is, because they're looking through the lens and character of Jesus. They were able to name that, which made me excited. And I said, well, how do we know the character of God? And they said, well, we read the Gospels. And I went, well, what's contained within the Gospels? Well, Jesus, first they went, Christmas, Easter. And I went, okay, I think now we're just throwing out the terms we learned. So what is it about those things? Well, it's about Jesus. Well, what is Jesus? Well, he embodies for us as the Christian community, the love and grace of God. He's the embodiment of that love. So if we want to seek to learn to live into that wisdom, James would tell his community, stay close to the one that we follow. Learn his ways, learn his stories, spend time putting into your heart and mind those things. Want to learn to be peaceful? Part of it is that we have to learn the one who practiced peace. And then emulate, be doers of the very thing that he said. That's hard work, though. Amen? Because when I want to turn away from the one who is poor in physical reality, that I can see it, let alone the one who is poor in spirit, Jesus would say, I should turn to them. When I find the one who is marginalized, who sits on the outside of the community, even the outside of this very gathered body, who struggles to find connection, I recognize if I'm to embody Jesus, I have eyes to see them when the rest of the world would say I should ignore them. Right? Look, what would happen if we emulated the way of peace when we're viewing the 5 o'clock news? It's the last thing that draws about peace in our heart and mind. Amen? But what would it look like if we began to see those that were being discussed on the very news as, one, humans? Whether that's over immigration or sexual orientation, or you make a long list of all the ways we would isolate and exclude, and what if we had the eyes to see them, as James encouraged us last week, that our words would see that they were made in the image of God? This week alone, I was heartbroken as, again, I watched us as a country fight and battle over sexual abuse and sexual assault with no sense of recognition or hearts. No sense of pain of recognizing all those who have been victimized throughout their life, who were not given a space to say or give witness to their pain. But now we're in the spotlight again as we have another conflict, another brewing dissension. And do we give space for healing, for wholeness? Instead, we take those who have been victimized and we re-victimize them over and over again. So I want to say this to you in the midst of that. That if you found yourself this week as somebody who is a survivor of abuse myself, I recognize every time I begin to hear those stories, they can be triggers within my own heart and mind. If you found yourself overwhelmed just in listening to the news this last week, one, know you have a safe place to come and share. I'd be one of those doors, and right next to mine is Mary Ann's. We want to be helpful. We want to be present. Because here's the thing, placing a spotlight on someone who has been assaulted or abused, who has that painful story, is not always the most helpful way. In fact, I would say it often just is more harmful. And I say this to you as your pastor, as someone who desires deeply to walk in the midst of the brokenness of this world and find healing and hope. And that healing and hope is hard found when we don't pause to listen closely. Now, we can talk about all the political ramifications afterwards. I'd be happy to engage you more deeply. But right now, what I'm worried about is that we dehumanize persons when we don't hear more closely the pain and brokenness they've experienced. So they're on my heart and mind today as we gather. Because here's the thing. If we're embodying that wisdom that's pure, that's peaceful, that's gentle, we're going to hold space for the one who is broken and overwhelmed. Amen? That's the church I long for us to be, is that we create space where all who are broken in spirit and mind and heart and body can come and find a safe place, and they can share when they're ready. But ultimately, we invite them to come as who they are, as God's children. And in the midst of all of that, we meet them where they are, knowing that in the midst of that journey, they are transformed, as are we. This work of growing in wisdom has real concrete realities to it. It means I have to choose today with my loved ones, with the person I meet at the store, with the person that cuts me off when I'm driving home today, that I have to see them within the image of God. I have to be one who practices peace and mercy when I'd rather practice anger and push away. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we gather this day as a community of faith, I recognize, oh God, that growing in wisdom is hard work. It's more than just simply knowing of peace and love, but practicing love and peace and mercy. So meet us today that we might not only be encouraged, but changed by your love and grace. We thank you for the gift of this day and our time together. In the name of Christ, we gather.